Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
power, power,
power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Praises to sing. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Well, good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio this morning. Eugene Barlett Sr. was a popular singer, music publisher and producer, and of course, a songwriter as well. He published his own hymnals, periodicals, magazines, and over time, he'd become a proficient songwriter, writing such songs as Everybody Will Be Happy Over There, and Just a Little While, and He Will Remember Me. He even had some success in the country music field. Life could not have been better for Eugene. He had married his sweetheart in 1917, and they raised two children. As a publisher, his hymn book was in demand, and he'd sold over 15,000 copies across the country. Eugene felt that his calling was to publish hymns and teach aspiring singers how to sight read, so he began traveling the South, holding singing schools and singing conventions. But in 1959, at the age of 53, Eugene's world changed drastically. He suffered a paralyzing stroke that left him unable to walk or even speak, and for the most part, he was bedridden. Sadly for Eugene, the stroke seemed to end his teaching ministry, but it was during these dark days that he would write his best-known hymn, Victory in Jesus. While he looked back over his life, he began to think back to the night he was born again and the rich life he had since that night. He began with the following words, "I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me." Realizing that the love of God had sustained him and brought him to where he was that day, he's quoted as saying he felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to add another verse. And he wrote, "I heard about his healing, of his saving power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and he caused the blind to see." When Eugene completed the song, he looked back over it and saw that it was a story of redeeming power from start to finish. He wanted the song to be joyous, and even though the song was written during the darkest period of his life, he chose to make the melody full of happiness and enthusiasm. Now, my friend, how can a man whose body seems to be so broken write with such hope and confidence in the middle of such struggles and difficulties? Eugene had found the source of true joy and happiness. He found that Jesus gave him hope beyond any material wealth or success. And today, in this program, I'd like to consider victory, true, lasting victory, the kind that can only be found in Christ.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is.
Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have victory. Victory within, victory over sin. Let's talk to the Lord this morning and thank him for this. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the provision that you've made for us, that through Jesus' blood and his righteousness, we can know what it is to have victory over sin, to be cleansed, forgiven, and walk with newness of life before you. Lord, I pray that you would help us during this broadcast. Open our eyes, Lord, to the possibility of victory that you have for us, and help us, Lord, to with gratitude walk in the newness of life that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that your will be accomplished. You see across this land this morning, as your people gather to worship you, may you be glorified. and may praises resound for the victory that you've won for us on the cross. I pray, Lord, that you'd accomplish your will through this broadcast this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock this evening for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com. John Wooden wrote in his book, They Call Me Coach, "I always tried to make it clear that basketball is not the ultimate. It's of small importance in comparison to the true life we live. There's only one kind of life that truly wins, and that is the one that places faith in the hands of the Savior." With 664 victories and 10 national championships, Wooden is arguably the most successful college basketball coach that ever lived. And yet, he drew attention to his relationship with Christ as the greatest source of his success. The game of basketball was a major portion of his life. But John realized that there is more to this life than victory on the court. And my friend, you and I most likely will never compare to John Wooden in the game of basketball. But I'm thankful to know that we can be successful in what counts in this life. Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, if you think about it, we only have one life to live, and our time is limited in this life. In all of the things we can pursue and the prizes that can be won in this life, I want to win and be victorious in what really counts and what will gain a reward that lasts. Far too many of our friends and neighbors are chasing after prizes that they will be enjoyed for a very short time, but there's a victory that can be won that gives a great joy now and throughout eternity. In the first epistle to the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul reminds the believers of the significance of the resurrection of Christ. It is because of this great victory won by Christ over death and the grave that the Christian has hope for the future. Now, as Paul is nearing the end of this letter, he reminds the reader that we have received a great gift from Christ, in that we can live without fear of death, living with confidence in the saving and keeping power of Christ. For a text this morning, let's begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to break in at verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And here's the key. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. First, let's look at the gratitude that we can have for God's gift of victory. To begin with, this victory is due to the shed blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from our sin. The Apostle Paul recognized fully that it was not his education, it wasn't his hard work, it wasn't his social status, family relations, or anything else that made him effective in ministry. It was the grace of God that had transformed a zealous persecutor of the church into a power-filled missionary, an evangelist of the gospel. Have you ever stopped to consider how the Apostle Paul could be so confident in what seemed to be insurmountable odds that he faced? You know, in the times of severe persecution and great suffering, Paul is writing words of encouragement to his fellow believers. And in these words of encouragement and testimony, we see that Paul is not living for himself and for his own pleasure, his own satisfaction, but he's living for the God who gave him grace and gave him help and hope. There's a real sense of gratitude that Paul expresses that comes from a deep understanding of his unworthiness of this grace, the wonderful grace of God that's been poured out into his life. But by this gift of grace, Paul knows victory, true victory in his life. He knows what it is to have victory over sin and its power. I'm happy to report to you this morning that that same victory that Paul had is available for us this morning. It's available to us because of God's love and his gift of salvation through Jesus. We see, secondly, that our victory comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you ever considered the power of God to make his children victorious? The very first man and woman disobeyed God and brought sin and death into this world. And each of their descendants since has proven that on his own, man is sinful, and in this sinful state is separated from God, who is perfect and holy. But my friend, this morning our hope is found in Christ, who lived as a man a perfect life, completely without sin, and who carried the full weight of the sins of mankind on himself, something only the perfect Son of God could do. You and I have access to God and forgiveness through that shed blood. And in Jesus, we find hope and we find victory. There's real power available to those who believe and place their faith in Jesus. In the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, we find a consideration of what can separate us from the love of Christ. As we begin reading here in verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, we read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We find here that the proof of Christ's power is found in the resurrection. The redemptive work of Christ on the cross was completed in his resurrection, proving that Christ had indeed conquered death and the grave, and had won a full and complete victory over sin. As verse 54 in our scripture said, "Death is swallowed up in victory." You know, the old saying is that actions speak louder than words. And I really think it's true. And when Christ rose from the dead, he proved that death and hell had been defeated. And what could be a greater enemy to man than the fear of death or the horrors of hell? The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8 had been fulfilled. Christ was victorious over sin. The Christian now has hope of eternal life in the kingdom of God because of the resurrection power of Christ. For while death may temporarily separate us from this earthly body, we too may someday be resurrected with an eternal body that will not grow old. For a third point, I'd like us to consider that we today can live in the reality of victory. First, we're free from the bondage of sin. No longer are we a slave to Satan's control. Yes, Satan can and will tempt us, but there is power available to the Christian to walk in victory over sin. This victory is not just a one-time thing, but it's a true victory, an ongoing state that one can live in. Living in obedience to God's word and developing a relationship with him is not just a suggestion in the Bible or an ideal to be set above the head, far above the head of the Christian, to be worked towards. But it's a reasonable expectation because Christ has defeated sin, and with him, we are free from the control and bondage of sin. So you may ask, what do we do about temptation? Because we know that Satan still fights the Christian through temptation. I'm reminded of the advice a doctor once gave a man who said that he had broke his arm in two places. To the news, the doctor simply replied, "Well, then stay out of those places." It is kind of amusing, but the reality is, if you want to live a life of victory, it's going to require us to walk daily with Christ, to walk in obedience to his leadership. Walking in victory doesn't just happen accidentally, but my friend, God is faithful to lead us and guide us, to walk with us as we follow him. It may take some intentional action on our part, but a righteous God does not ask of us something that is beyond our ability to accomplish with his help. Don't do it on your own. You won't make it. But by God's grace and with his power, you can be victorious over sin. Remember what verse 58 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, their salvation was not made possible or conditioned on their work, but they were justly expected to serve the Lord faithfully, trusting him with the results. Can we not expect the same for us? We too can trust God with the results of our lives. Truly, the work and life of the Christian is one that resounds in joy and victory. It's a life of gratitude for God's great gift of grace that makes it possible for us to be cleansed from our sins through the blood of Jesus. because of that gift of grace and power of Christ, we have victory over sin, victory over death. We walk a new life, freed from the bondage of sin. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer, that source of hope and help for you, I invite you to look to Him, because Jesus is able to break the power of sin and death in your life. No matter what you may be facing, no matter what fears rise up in your life, there's hope, my friend, to be found in Jesus. You can be victorious. You can live free from sin, walking with Jesus each day, with hope and confidence that He saves you, keeps you, and that there's a home in heaven waiting for you. I'm Pastor Joel, simply asking you to look to Jesus for true victory.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, I was near to despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete. When He reached down His hand for me, how my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice in the tempest. When the Savior reached down.